Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Captain Hunter's Podcast, the podcast that is dedicated towards bridging the divide between the police and the communities that they serve. I want to thank you once again for downloading the episodes, for becoming a subscriber. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the love and the support. I want to remind you all to follow me on Instagram, CPTL Hunter. You can follow me also on Twitter, CPTL Hunter. Both Instagram and Twitter are CPTL Hunter. I have a Facebook page, Captain Hunter's Podcast, on Facebook. You can email me, cptlhunter@gmail.com, cptlhunter@gmail.com. Always looking for guests. If there's a topic you want me to cover, email me, and we'll see if we can make that happen. Before we get going, I want to share some good news. Anyone who knows, I have offered training to persons who are about to take a promotional exam. The training was always offered online, mostly for Skype and other services as well. Even the written exam, I could, you know, we were going to do it online. But now I've joined the modern technological age and have put the course online. So you can head over to hunterpolicetraining.com, hunterpolicetraining.com. On there, you will see my website, obviously, and there will be a tab for online course. Click on the online course, go on over, check it out. I do have a free video up there. We were talking about what we're going to be discussing. I put a lot of hard work, a lot of sweat behind it. And so I know that you will be very pleased with the product you're going to get and the education that you're going to get. So if you're looking to take a promotional test, head on over to hunterpolicetraining.com/online courses and click on that and it will take you to it. So I'm really very proud of the work that I put into it, and I'm looking forward for big things. I also have another course that I'm going to be dropping very, very soon. Make sure you check it out. Really excited about it and a lot of trying to do some really, really big things. So we're going to get going here with the episode. We have a good brother here, Brother Warren Leach. He's from the Ungroup Society here in the great city of Waterbury. So this is not just going to be a very parochial type of episode. I do these type of episodes in which I try to focus on what people are doing in the community so that other communities throughout the country, whoever, wherever you may be listening to this at, can grab some ideas and say, hey, listen, we want to take those ideas. And also, if you're listening to something and you have an idea, if you're in another city and you have another idea that you think is going to be beneficial to that other one people can listen to, shoot me the information, cptlhunter@gmail.com. Give me a call. We can actually have a conversation about what you're doing, and we can go from there. You know, I'm interested in what people are doing across the country as far as trying to uplift and upbuild their communities. And so that's the reason that I do these types of episodes, not just to keep it a very parochial type of thing. So having said that, we got a good brother from the Ungroup Society, a society that is on Facebook. They also have the Spirit of Unity that's also on Facebook. So you can check that out, Brother Warren Leach, L-E-A-C-H. So make sure you check him out. And he's on Facebook as well as the group, the Ungroup Society. And how I came across the Ungroup Society is, you know, reading our local newspaper here, the repam.com. That's the RepublicanAmerican.com. I was sort of reading through that, and there's an article that was back published in February 2020. It says, Waterbury nonprofit will offer free Black Latino history classes. So Brother Leach is going to explain to us what his group is going to be offering as far as teaching Black history and Latino classes. Now, this article was published in February, which would be Black History Month. And so I thought it was very important that we continue the spirit of Black history, not just for February, but throughout the whole year. So here's a person who is trying to do his best in order to make sure that this situation is happening and make sure that our Black youth and as well as Latino youth are educated. And let me also emphasize that this is not strictly and solely for Black and Latino youth. He will go on, Brother Leach will go on to tell us that this organization is open to Asian kids and white kids as well. So anyone can come and learn about the history classes that are being taught. So I thought it was very impressive. So Warren Leach is going to introduce himself himself and kind of explain to us who he is and his own history and his own personal journey. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here is the interview with Warren Leach of the Ungroup Society. All right, so we are here with Mr. Warren Leach. He's going to tell us about the Ungroup Society. I really appreciate you coming to Captain Hunter's podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me and the group.
Absolutely, absolutely. The way I came to know about you is because of the article that was in the paper talking about what something that I think is very important, and that is educating Black and Latino youth about their history. And you want to start a class or continue classes teaching Black and Black Hispanic youth about their history. So can you tell us, first of all, a little bit about yourself and then about the program?
Okay. So I'm a lifelong Waterbury resident. I was born and raised here. I played football here and ran track, and I had a pretty regular childhood and upbringing, you know, good, decent family. And my life kind of went off the rails for a little while. At 21 years old, I was the second youngest firefighter ever in this city.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, over time, though, I ran into some issues with addiction and things like that. And, you know, it's been a long road back, but I'm 10 years clean and sober.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so, you know, kind of why that's kind of relevant to the story is that I didn't feel like, you know, my life was resurrected to be only about me.
Right.
I did that before, you know, so I was trying to figure out what I needed to do or what I was put here to do, what I was born to do. There's something I believe that we were all born to do. And, you know, no one can really do it quite like we can is what we were created for. And so I've been trying to figure that out, and I've been stumbling along across a lot of good things, you know, along the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
The most important thing is that you made it back. So you started this particular group called the Ungroup Society, which is on Facebook and other places. Tell us a little bit about that.
So the Ungroup Society was not, I always acknowledge how this thing started and the people that were involved. Mm-hmm. You know, my friend Denise Patterson, James Gatling, and Rodney Davis. Mm-hmm. We were sitting at Barnes & Noble's one day. We were lamenting about all the things that used to go on in the community, and how come they don't do this no more? And how come they don't do that anymore? And why doesn't someone do the other?
Right.
And then we kind of looked around the table at each other and said, we're somebody.
Right. Yeah.
So we set about to put together we just wanted to have a block dance. Mm-hmm. We wanted to have something where people could come out, you block off the street like the old days, and everybody come out from the neighborhood and have a good time. And the more that we started to plan this thing, the more people wanted to get involved, and it actually turned into a live concert. That was 2013.
Okay.
So what the group initially was we were all people who had been maybe a little disenchanted with other groups that we had been a part of, or, you know, I wasn't a part of anything at the time. And, you know, so we would take ideas and thoughts from different individuals who had nowhere to go with their vision. And we say, well, you know, your church isn't doing this with you, or the organization you're part of doesn't, you know, see that as having value. So we're kind of a clearinghouse of ideas for people who don't have any structure or infrastructure to affect their vision. Mm-hmm. So we will take a good idea. We will use our contacts and resources and sometimes our own funds, and we make things happen for folks that have nowhere else to go. And that's why we were trying to figure out a name to call the group. Mm. And we said, well, we don't really want to be a group. Mm. So we'll be the Ungroup.
Okay. Okay.
That's where that came
from. I definitely was going to ask you how you came up with the name, but that explains it. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about this program that you got going on. Is it in the public schools? You're trying to get into public schools as far as making sure that, I mean, we just finished Black History Month as we record this. You know, Black History Month was last month. I did a couple of episodes where I talked about the importance of making sure that Black history is not relegated to February.
Right.
We ought to be continuing on with this every day. So you're trying to do something and bring it into the school system or into the community.
So there's a resolution or a bill that's now a law, actually, that requires that school districts in Connecticut offer African American and Puerto Rican history. Mm-hmm. I believe that's the actual language.
Okay.
But it's meant to encompass the entire experience.
Okay.
And but prior to that, when you talk about Black History Month, a few years ago, I was doing some work up at the WOW NRZ Center with Greg Hadley, you know, who's now deceased. And I talked to him about, you know, why are we allowing ourselves to be relegated to 1 month a year?
Right.
Like, who gets to decide to tell us when we're going to celebrate ourselves?
Right.
And why would we accept that? Mm. So basically, you know, I said, you know, Greg, we can rail on and on about what other people aren't doing for us, or we can grab the bull by the horns. And, you know, we live in an age of technology that, you know, you don't have to go to the library and read through 10, 15 books to get this information or this knowledge or these texts or things like that. We have the entire world at our disposal, you know, through the internet.
Right.
So, you know, I said, well, I want to have some classes for kids. Mm-hmm. If you can't force the school system to do something that we know needs to be done, then damn it, we're just going to do it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so that was the genesis of the idea. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that was in 2017.
Okay.
And so this was prior to this bill even being thought of, this law being thought of. So we were able to secure a grant, a small grant, and we actually put together three different classes.
Okay.
Off of a $25,000 grant, we were able to have a youth financial literacy class.
Okay.
A youth entrepreneurship class, as well as Afro-Latinx history class.
Okay.
And one thing I'm proud of is in the youth financial literacy class, we are able to give each student over the course of four different classes, averaging 15 students per class. We give each one of them $100 to either open a bank account or invest as they saw fit based upon what they learned.
Okay.
So that's kind of our step. So we have three steps. We want to give kids Afro-Latinx history, mm-hmm. to give them a more accurate representation of themselves and a foundation. Then we want to walk them through youth financial literacy. Mm-hmm. So they learn what to do with money, how to manage it and be more responsible with it, with an eye towards building generational wealth.
Right.
And then into the entrepreneurship piece, where everyone's not meant to go to college. Mm-hmm. Everyone's not meant to incur $80,000 worth of debt to go work for someone else till you drop dead.
Ain't that the truth?
Right. So maybe you have a dream, something that you want to follow. So now you have a foundation. You know how to work with money and have money work for you, and to apply those things towards your goal.
Okay. And what are the ages of your groups?
So being the young group, doing things like a little bit, you know, unconventionally, we try to focus on the ages of 13 to 18.
Okay.
But I've yet to turn a child away.
Okay.
We have Afro-Latin classes going on in the other room right now. We have a 12-year-old in there.
Okay.
She's precocious, and her mother assured me that she'll be able to grasp it.
Okay.
And she really appears to be having the most fun in there.
I'm sure, yeah.
So the answer really is I wouldn't turn a student away unless they were, you know, 10, 9 years old.
Right.
And I'd be open to taking young people who are out of high school up to age 21, 22 maybe.
Okay.
That's a fluid answer. I just don't want to turn anyone away that wants to learn something.
No, I definitely understand. Yeah. And you said you have like four classes right now of 15 students?
We have three classes, but we don't run them simultaneously.
Okay.
Because it's difficult to peel off kids from other activities 3 days a week.
Okay.
So we run them concurrent.
Okay. So the students that are coming to the classes, I mean, how are you advertising to these students? How are you getting them?
So usually, and this is kind of a problem for we need to be able to expand on this model. Mm-hmm. We generally we get students through social media.
Okay.
The NAACP Youth Council that's mm-hmm. run by Orlando Brantley, mm-hmm. we kind of partner with them and we kind of funnel kids, you know, that that are kind of already engaged in extracurricular activities and alternative education, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term. But we should be in more places and spaces where there are students so that they will be aware that we're offering these things.
Now, you talked about alternative kids. I mean, is this something that's geared towards the troubled kids, or is it anyone who hears about the program?
Anyone that hears about the program. Okay. And that's kind of something that I've been noticing or paying more attention to. Like, it's great to have kids who are already motivated and are already engaged in positive things. I'm worried that we're not in contact with the kids that, you know, more troubled kids or kids that have more issues.
I agree with you. Yeah.
And so that's just I never looked at this as a thing that had to be marketed, but you do have to have a marketing strategy.
Yeah.
You have to figure out who it is that you're looking to engage, what outcomes you're looking for, and where to find these kids.
Right. Yeah. Right. So this is not in schools, right? This is your own program that we're in a community center right now.
Right.
So you meet kids on social media, whatever, mm-hmm. and you have them come to this community center.
Right.
Right. So are they generally neighborhood kids? I mean, are they kids who need rides?
Yeah, generally they're neighborhood kids, but hey, we won't. I go across town. Mm-hmm. I pick up and drop off again. I won't let that deter them from being able to participate. This is a funny story about that. That's not so funny. We had a meeting with some members of the Board of Education, and it wasn't an official meeting. It was they had heard something about what we were doing, and they took an interest in it because by this time the state had kind of sent down this, not a mandate, but sent down this direction that these classes needed to be offered across the state in all districts. And we said, listen, we already had one of these classes already in the can. We have some data. We have pretest scores, post-test scores, and we have, you know, anecdotal data from students in the form of surveys, mm-hmm. talking about what they liked, what they didn't like. So we took all of this to the Board of Education, and we proposed that they take a look at it, and if it met, you know, certain standards, this is something we would like to have in the schools as a pilot or as part of the curriculum, or here where we're having a class now offsite, mm-hmm. and be able to offer 1 point credit towards graduation.
Okay.
So at the time of that meeting that occurred in October, you know, everyone was kind of on board with it. And then there was a subsequent curriculum committee meeting where the folks who, you know, kind of were on board did a 180 on having it in the schools. You know, and I could get into what was said in the meeting, but the upshot is that they're not considering our offering at this time. What bothers me about that is first, the first meeting was that, you know, it's this kind of, oh, this is great. This is something we should do. So when it flipped around, you know, what I don't really understand about it is, so we're funded ourselves. Dr. Kelly Hope constructed an 8-week curriculum that we do here. That's the one we're doing now. And she also constructed a 16-week curriculum, and we paid her to do a full year's curriculum. At considerable expense,
right?
Okay. Based upon the meeting that we had in October.
Okay.
You know, we'll still use it, and it has a lot of value for us. But what we did was we had her made sure that it adhered to Connecticut Common Core standards, which is all annotated.
Right.
that it does. And she has grading rubrics so that wherever you teach it, the grading system is the same.
Right.
We it's actually airtight and bulletproof.
Right.
And it's a great curriculum.
Right.
And what we were offering, they didn't have to pay for it. We pay for the curriculum. We will pay for the teacher.
Okay.
All you have to do is allow it.
Right.
And if it works out, great. Everyone's happy. If it doesn't work out, you can say, oh, well, we gave you a shot.
Right, right, right.
And there's no downside to this.
So maybe you don't want to tell us about what happened in the meeting, but what happened in the meeting? I mean, why the reversal? I mean, if it's a win-win situation for them, no money out their pocket, do they have another curriculum they want to go with, or what's the story?
Well, there was a new head of social studies department hired.
Okay.
And, you know, in their defense, she should have been part of the conversation. She was not hired at the time of the first conversation.
Okay.
That may be part of it. You know, I can't say.
Okay.
And, you know, and to be honest with you, I have a pretty decent relationship with the mayor.
I understand.
And so I couldn't speculate.
Okay.
And I will circle back around and speak with him again and, you know, and see maybe what we can do. Look, I'm perfectly fine with doing it offsite and to incentivize kids to attend it and take advantage of it. They would be able to know that they would get 1 point towards graduation.
Mm.
So then when the state comes down with whatever curriculum that they're constructing now, there's a group called CERC that is constructing a curriculum now. When that comes down the pipe, if they want to change over, you just change over.
Oh, okay. Okay.
See, there's no real reason to not do it.
So with this law that's been passed, is there a time limit? I mean, is it implemented? Or are we supposed to have something that's run up and running now?
It's supposed to have something up and running by 2021.
2021. So this CERC group is probably working on something and they want to implement that.
They are working on it. And
also, is that another group that's funded or a privatized group that's probably got their hooks into the state legislatures and say? And
they're a very well-known group. It's the State Education Resource Center.
Okay.
And, you know, they do this type of work all the time. In fact, they allowed myself and Dr. Hope to be on one of the subcommittees that is constructing this curriculum.
Okay.
You know, I have no issues with anyone involved.
Mm.
I'm just trying to see how you navigate this thing to at least, you know, if it's not included in the school curriculum, that's fine. That's their choice. You know, this would be a much different conversation even I'm having with you right now if at the initial meeting they said, well, you know, that's nice, but that's not something that we want to do at this time.
Right.
You know, because, you know, honestly, I don't look at it this way because we have the curriculum and it has value. We will use it going forward in the future. But we put out in excess of $5,000. But, you know, kind of based upon this assertion that, you know, yeah, this is a thing that we can get behind, you know, go ahead, go forward and get the curriculum to us.
Right.
You know, I that's neither here nor there for me because, we'll use it in,
Gotcha. Has there been any, I mean, besides this issue that we just talked about, any pushback from any other parents groups, any, and I asked you before about, essentially about inclusion. I mean, do you allow white kids, if white kids wanted to join Mexican kids, or they would probably consider to still be Latin, or Asian kids, or whatever. Any pushback, number one, from any different parent group saying, you know, this Black history stuff isn't necessary, and or would you let any other students of non-Latin African ancestry join the group?
Well, there's two tracks to that question.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is where we are here in our group, we would like... I'd like to have 25 kids in there of all backgrounds because kind of the point is on one hand, you want to have young African-American youth. You want to have them educated in their actual history.
Right.
Our history does not begin being dragged off slave ships. Right. So that's what they're getting.
Right.
So it would be good for young white kids to know that as well.
Absolutely.
I'd love to have them here. Where we are now is basically we're a grassroots organization, grassroots group doing things in this neighborhood.
Right.
That goes back to the expansion and learning to market this thing better and being able to explain to other groups and other parents what the value of this is.
Right.
If you want people as adults to get together in this country, as we see with what's going on now, is very desperately needed.
Right.
Everyone has to recognize each other's value.
Right.
You can't look at me as a drain on society.
Right.
I can't always look at you as the oppressor.
Right.
We got to find a common ground that unites us and walk together from that point. And a class like this for young white kids to see, they would never know that medicine, surveying, mathematics, all of these things come from Africa.
Right. Right.
They should know that.
Right.
They should then they look at people with our color skin and say, you know, we're a part of this entire human experiment.
Absolutely.
Not some cargo that got dragged off of a ship.
Right.
We should all look at each other with value.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. So we talked a little bit about, I think we mentioned church before, maybe it was before we got on air, but I've always said, you talked about the history of this, you probably know where I'm going, is that one of the biggest problems I have is when I went to church, growing up in church, every Sunday we went to Sunday school, and every Sunday we were taught Jewish myths, mythologies, legends, right? Moses, Abraham,
right.
12 tribes of Israel. And I could probably rattle off a number of things. And as you just said, we're not learning African history. Do you think that there's a place, I mean, you're doing it now in this community center. Where has been the place of our institution, and I'm talking about Black people's institution, our traditional institution has been the church.
Right.
Where has the church been? Has it been absent? Or am I placing too much blame on them and teaching us or dropping the ball as we've gone forward?
So I go to church. I'm not a member of any church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have some pretty strong opinions about this. None that I think are negative.
Right.
But folks who love their church and they've been tied to their church for generations, they might see them as that. So here's my view on it is when I first got clean and sober by the grace of God, it happened in a church.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a single prayer. In fact, I followed a girl in the church.
I'm sure we all done that. Yeah.
I followed a girl in the church. I followed my first love in the church.
Right.
She was visiting and she came to sing and I followed her in the church.
Okay.
It's the only reason that I went in there that night.
I'm sure.
So there's no denial of that single prayer because that addiction part was done. November 19th of 2009, I haven't even had an urge.
Good. Yeah.
So the power of my creator mm-hmm. for me is real.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have 4,000 denominations of Christianity, mm-hmm. more or less.
Right.
And so that tells me that things are being filtered through whatever man, it is always a man,
right,
decided God was telling him.
Right.
So now this is what we're doing. These are the rules. This is how I interpret them.
Right.
For me, that doctrine is sometimes the impediment to us all reaching God and divinity.
I understand.
Yeah. So as it pertains to this subject, though, this is a podcast. I could curse a little, right?
You can curse a little bit, yeah.
It won't be bad.
FCC won't be all over us.
Yeah, nah, it won't be bad. And back in the day, you had some divisions in church.
Right.
You know, you need to come to my church. You know, my choir is this.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, my pastor is that. That's edifying man.
Right, right.
You know, even the institutions within the singular church as an address. But back in those days, there were some common things that we knew that if we didn't do together, your ass might be hanging from the nearest tree by nightfall.
Absolutely.
So what my feeling is, after the Civil Rights era and after some legislation was signed, you know, we at the mountaintop now.
Yeah.
So yeah. Now the 80s rolled through.
Right.
And Ronald Reagan and you know, the definition of success now is a house, two cars in the driveway, and 2.5 kids in a white picket fence. Mm-hmm. And we, in my opinion, is we lost each other. We lost those ties that bound us together, and we started chasing material things.
Right, right.
And where we were bound together in spirit, we left it.
Right.
Even if you look at this neighborhood out here, this neighborhood was a thriving community.
Right.
Right outside this window. But everybody moved away. But you have a right to live where you want to live. Don't get me wrong. Mm. But we took our talents, right, our gifts,
right,
our abilities, and everything we knew, and we took it to other places. And we forgot what nurtured us.
Right.
And so now the churches are still here.
Right.
But people drive into the churches, have service, and drive back out.
Right.
And don't leave as much here as maybe they could. Not as a judgmental thing on my part, right, because many people are doing good things. I'm not saying that. But right. So, I mean, as a whole, if we don't all put it together and attack the system with votes, with inclusion by being on boards and commissions,
right,
and economically,
right,
then we got nothing coming. We'll pray and we'll wait some more.
Yeah, no, that's well said. I don't want to make it seem like I'm bashing the church either. But my point is that this history that you're teaching and the professor and trying to get in done in the class is something that ought to come in our churches and in our homes. And a lot of times we don't know. So therefore somebody knows, right? There's a doctor, a lawyer somewhere who's got this information, and you found someone who had this information,
right,
and put it into a community center. And I wish that more people, what my point is that what if growing up, instead of every Sunday learning about Moses and Abraham, I would have learned about medicine and all of our civil rights activists, right? Right. Malcolm X and you know, Fannie Lou Hamer and all the rest of them, right? What if we would have learned that? I think our communities would have been a lot stronger. I think our you know, many of the problems that we are dealing with as a community would not be there so strongly, right? There's much research that says that the more, the better a person feels about themselves, right, then they don't have to run after some clown who's selling drugs or follow after the gangbanger or whatever.
Right.
And that's my point that's where I think that the church as an institution has let us down. Of course, there are churches and preachers who are trying to do the right thing.
Right.
But I think as overall as an institution, it has let us down. So that's my point in that.
Well, if you take, I used to have the numbers on this. I don't have them right now. But there's a certain number of dollars that gets taken in every Sunday,
right,
by the combined
right,
resources
right.
of the churches. How is it that black folks don't have a national bank?
Crazy. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
I grew up, as I mentioned, in church, right? So this, I don't want to pick on any particular denomination, but yeah. I grew up in a church that's very close to here. It was the tagline of the church was Church of God in Christ, right? It was part of an organization, right? So they didn't have, like you said, a national bank. The Church of God in Christ didn't have a national bank, didn't have a national college. Mm-hmm. They did have a national college, but it wasn't accredited. So you go to the school for nothing.
Right.
And then this particular district was called the Waterbury District, where they had about 4 or 5 churches, right? Those churches didn't have any type of way of educating their preachers, didn't have a school for us to go to. We live in an area where there's numerous Catholic churches, places to educate their kids, grammar school, middle school, and high school, right?
Yeah.
That's what the Catholic Church is able to do, right? And so we didn't have any of that. And that's what I'm talking about. There's this letdown. So you mentioned that black folks don't have a national bank. You know, I read the numbers too, something like whatever it is. Let's just say it's $1 billion just collected. We don't have a bank for it to go into. Mm-hmm. We don't have any car dealerships anymore, right? We used to have them in the '60s, like you said, you know, until some things happened.
Integration.
Until integration, right? So we can't buy our cars from each other. We don't have banks to put our money into. We don't have hospitals to go for us to go to. We don't have places to educate our kids. And so that's why I'm so appreciative of what you're doing and trying to do, and especially the financial aspect piece of it, is getting these kids to realize how to build wealth, and hopefully we have this collective mindset that we can all get together and really do something for our community.
We have to put down this thing where, you know, it's just my perception. We feel like for me to support you in your business venture or whatever it is somehow taking away from me.
Right.
Like if I support you, you're going to have some things that I don't have.
Right.
You know, white folks do that all the time. we willingly give, you know, our dollar stays in the community for 6 hours. Mm. Maybe shorter time.
Probably shorter than that.
We don't circulate it.
Right.
You know, like if I not even understanding, if I support your business and your business expands, you can hire my son.
Absolutely.
That's how you build this thing. But we're busy. Yo, I'm going to tell you something, man. This community work and other groups is cutthroat. You think you're all on the same page. You think you're all doing the same things. But it's just there's more to it than I thought. When I got out of the streets, it would be different. Mm. There's issues everywhere. People are still people. The hustle is just different.
The hustle is different. Yeah. I can see that.
But I, you know, on a higher level, like I told you earlier, I'll be 60 in November, and I don't. This isn't my job. I do this for 8 hours a day after I leave work.
Right.
That allows me to be independent.
Right.
That allows me to go on social media and give colonizers the business.
Okay.
because if you're not going to be yourself, 100% yourself in something like this, kids are going to see through it.
Yeah.
They're going to see through it.
Yeah.
So I'm always the same. Like I'm the same here. I'll be the same in the mayor's office. I'm the same on social media. They say to me all the time, yo, you can't get up there and say that. You might have to get some funding from this one or that one. I'm like, if they can't see whoever it is, can't see their way through what my personal thoughts and beliefs are and juxtapose against all the good things we're doing, keep your money. Mm. I tell you right now, I don't take money from everybody. I do not take money from everybody.
No, that's probably good.
Well, but number one, that's twofold. You don't want anyone telling you what to do against your values based upon a couple of dollars.
Right.
And secondly, if you're not down with the vision and what it is that I'm even explaining to you right now, mm-hmm. You don't belong here at any price. We'll get it done.
Absolutely.
This equipment here, pay for it.
It's a nice equipment too. Yeah, people can't see it, but it's nice.
Yeah, well, no one can tell you what to do with it.
That's important.
Yeah, it is.
That's important. That's important. So how long have you all been at this, and do you have any success stories for us?
We've been at this. We've had 4 different financial literacy classes, 2 entrepreneurship classes, and this is our 2nd round of Afro-Latinx classes.
Okay.
Well, we've been doing things in the community since 2013. And we've done dozens of things. I mean, I actually have a list. I could run through them really, really quick.
Okay.
Okay. So like I told you earlier, we would take an idea from someone, mm-hmm. and we would say we'll do it. So a lot of this stuff does not fit together as a cohesive movement, but we're going in that direction now.
Okay.
But I mean, we have a mentorship group called the Black Justice League. Mm-hmm. And so we support young men. They come in, they talk to us. We kind of just chop it up, get to know each other. We take them for free haircuts like once a month.
Okay.
We have community situational awareness. We have personal security training for women.
Okay.
When some of this, you know, this these scares about kidnappings was going around,
right.
We responded to that.
Right.
So we have All Money Matters. That's we've had four of those. We've invested $5,500 in the kids for that. Mm-hmm. We've had we make generally when we do fundraisers, we'll make donations, you know, to worthy causes. Like we usually, you're always looking for money. We're not a philanthropy group. But if we see something, we'll take our own money and support it.
Okay.
So there's a young man named Jaden Bracey who's fighting cancer, and we gave them $1,000.
Nice.
We helped create and fund the Christopher B. Love Scholarship Endowment.
Yes.
With a friend of ours, Susan Goodman, who is very close to this, and we managed to raise over 2 years, $10,235.70. So that we are trying to give $1,000 scholarship in perpetuity.
I remember Chris Love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We would play ball together.
Yeah.
And then he got killed. Actually, when I was a cop, I was I had to go guard the crime scene for a little bit. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. It was tragic. It was but these are the sorts of things that he would be doing now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, you know, we put together more than $10,000. And Susan, when we weren't doing fundraisers, walked the city and picked up cans for 2 years to get that done. Mm. We had a citywide health fair with all the big health care providers here up at Jonathan Reed School. That was last year. We had Spirit of Unity concert, 8 years running. We average about 1,000 people. And it's a concert, but it's wrapped around social services and kids' activities during the day. Then at night, grown folks get it in.
Okay. That's important too.
Yeah. We had a couple of free movie screenings. We did The Best of Enemies and Hidden Figures.
Okay.
We put 160 kids total in those movies.
Okay.
We have a Prom Just giveaway. We're doing a Prom Just giveaway in April.
Okay.
We've done that 4 years running.
Okay.
And if you average $300 per dress, that doesn't even count accessories and all the other things. We put $90,000 back in folks' pocket.
Wow.
Embracing Me, Women's Empowerment Workshop. It's a long list.
Yeah, okay. Well, you read a lot.
yeah. One of the reasons I do that, it's not to, you know, pat ourselves on the back as much as it is to say, you don't need to be a part of this giant organization thing to just get your feet on the ground, get your hands dirty, and get things done. And we have an office here now. But all of that happened without an office, without an infrastructure.
Wow.
All of it.
Nice.
That means people can do anything.
You can do anything.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So if somebody wants to get in touch with the UnGroup, how would we contact you? You got a website, email address, phone number?
We're working on the website.
Okay.
That's a sore sticking point, man.
Man, listen, I know I set one up for this business, man. I dread it every day, man. I'm like, God. So I understand. I really do understand.
Yeah. We got to the point where we said we're going to pay someone.
Yeah.
But you can find us on social media, the UnGroup Society, and the Spirit of Unity, concert page. Which we update with information about the upcoming event for this year.
Okay.
You can call me. Okay. You can call me at 203-510-8730.
Okay.
With any ideas, and we promise you, if it's viable and it's positive, we'll help you do it.
Absolutely.
That's kind of all there is.
Man, I appreciate brothers like you, man, giving back to the community, helping out. I'm really impressed, like I said, with that newspaper article. And I'm impressed with everything that you just rattled off. Mm-hmm. And especially the history lesson. It really touched me because of the Black history that we just came out of.
Right.
But it's really, really important that people know where they came from. That way they can know where they are today and know where they're going for tomorrow. And I applaud you for doing that. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you, man. You know, you have to understand that how we got in the condition that we're in was not an accident.
Right.
A good deal of it was designed.
Absolutely.
From being outlawed from learning to read.
Right.
To chain gangs, to black codes, to Jim Crow, to mass incarceration, to redlining. There's a design to this.
There's a brother I listened to on he's actually on my podcast before. His name is Philip Matthews, Philip Shock Matthews. He's mm-hmm. he's on YouTube. And he said, there's nothing wrong with black people. Something happened to black people. And so we have to figure out what happened, and therefore we can undo the damage. And right. it seems as if you're doing just that, and undoing the damage with the ungroup, right. which I appreciate.
Yeah, there you go. All the uns.
All the uns. So thank you so much for being on Captain Hunter's podcast. I really, really appreciate the conversation. And whatever I can do to help you guys get going forward, man, I'll do it, man. Just let me know. And,
absolutely.
And I appreciate it, man.
Thank you, man. Big things.
Okay, man. All right. So I want to thank Brother Warren Leach for allowing me to interview him, and for him coming on Captain Hunter's podcast really meant a lot. So if you really want to get in touch with the Ungroup Society or the Spirit of Unity concert page, both of those are on Facebook, the Ungroup Society on Facebook and other social media platforms, as well as the Spirit of Unity page on Facebook. So make sure you check them out. Give them a lot of love and support. I appreciate that what they're doing. And as I said before, and if you're listening to this, it's not just about educating African-American and Latino kids, which I think is important, but they're also inclusive so that other ethnicities can get the same education. So they can understand, and everyone can understand the history and the contributions that Black Americans, as well as Latin Americans, have made to our society. So I want to thank him once again for coming on Captain Hunter's podcast. Make sure that you rate, subscribe, and share. Please support the podcast through PayPal, Cash App, Venmo. You can also go to Captain Hunter's podcast on Patreon page. Make sure you become a subscriber. It only helps to support the podcast, and I truly appreciate it. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, much love and peace.